The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And this next fact will mean nothing to you, but just to my next guest. This is the earliest podcast I think I have done. It's 8 o'clock, Monday, March 22nd. Christine Roman is joining us. Oh, I said Christine. Second time on the show. Chris, how you doing?
Thanks for welcoming me back. Thank you. Monday morning. I can't believe we're doing this, but we're doing it.
Think of the last time we did this, we were in a French restaurant. The only time I ever did one over dinner while, you know, ordering food and being with humans and stuff. That was the last time we did this a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was fun. We were at, if we can say, downtown, right on Front Street. Great restaurant. Actually, the chef is coming back to Ontario, which I'm really happy. She just announced on the weekend. And yeah, that was lovely.
Yeah.
I miss dining, don't you?
Yes, I do. And let's just start there. In your mind, and for people, you know, I don't think I did a proper intro. People haven't met Chris before, but sommelier, works in restaurants, instructor, just everything within the world of wine Chris is a part of. In your mind, just where are we now with the restaurant industry? I guess you can't say worldwide, but at least Toronto, Southern Ontario.
Yes. So I am, just to give some more context, so I've been working in the wine industry for, 12, 14, I don't know, it gets a little fuzzy because I've always been in and out, or on the weekends, and I kind of started with a family project out in Niagara, and then, yeah, you're always in it. Once the little wine bug bites you, it's hard to get out. Oh, yep. I know you know that. So
yes.
I've the last few years, to be honest, I moved more into the Toronto scene. I was kind of wanting to learn how to sell better to my sommeliers, and then I became a sommelier. So that's how it's led me to the restaurant industry, and I've learned a lot from friends and just colleagues and participating and just listening, really. There's a lot to learn. So yeah, that's how I'm in and out of the industry. It's heartbreaking right now, to be honest. I'll be remiss if I didn't say that. It's hard times right now. I mean, officially, as of this weekend, it was almost 5 months of dining closures. So that just announced on a snap on Friday evening, end of day. So that was really hard to see, and everyone's scrambling. And it was hard to see the restaurants just, you know, pivoting so quickly. And I know that's the famous buzzword, but there's no better word to articulate what's happening in the industry. They have to pivot. And I know it's a word people have a disdain for, but pivot's the best way to describe it, because you are on your heels and you have to move and hustle. And yeah, it was hard to see restaurants saying, okay, we're not open yet, but we're trying. And you can see the behind the scenes. It takes a lot of operational excellence to really put on a show. That's what dining is. It's not just serving food. There's more to it. And it's hard. It's been a little bit of, obviously this year has been tough. I've barely been in restaurants myself working. I not only work and love the flow of restaurants, I can't even dine in them. So it's been a tough year.
Yeah. By the way, we could do a list of the words we hate. Pivot would be there. I feel unprecedented. Just pandemic.
Moist.
Global. Did you say moist?
Moist.
Yeah. Everyone hates moist. Moist is, that there's not a lot. Unless you're describing a deep, delicious Sara Lee cake, moist does not have much place in our lexicon.
Yep, absolutely. So
yeah.
Those words, but yeah, and pivot, but it is, it really, there's, tell me a better word of what they do. It really, I've racked my brain trying to figure out a better vocabulary to describe what restaurateurs, chefs, I mean, because restaurant owners can be chefs, they can be anyone, right? At the end of the day, they're savvy business owners that have to adhere to a lot of regulations. Food is, you know, we have to be careful. A lot of alcohol regulations, and then public health. And now more government oversight than ever. So it's been a wonderful time as well. I mean, you see now bottle shops, and it's almost the year anniversary, actually. I think it's this week. I'm trying to remember the exact date. I'm sure I have it somewhere. I think this week is the week they were allowing alcohol to go.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, in all of this negativity or in this tough times, it's unbelievable to see the change, which... Really, it's quite amazing how much we've changed and evolved in 1 year.
By the way, you'd appreciate this, Chris. I decided yesterday, I was just going for a long walk. I'm like, you know what? And I was a dummy because it was closed, but I decided I'm going to walk to midfield, say hi to Annette Brulee, buy a bottle of wine. They were closed. So then I just ended up at Paris and and got some Moselle Riesling. So that was my Sunday afternoon.
Oh, you should have called. I'm in the neighborhood. That's my neighborhood. So
what?
Yeah, absolutely. The Federal is also close by.
Yes.
I mean, I could name off a million. Grape Witches is there. Obviously, Paris, Grape Crush. There's so many great wine bars. I'm even missing so many more.
Archive.
Oh, my God. And that's a little over Trinity Bellwoods. But yep. I mean, yeah, that stretch, it really is. We're in little Portugal and Dundas West really is between Ossington and Dundas College.
It's nuts.
Queen. It's wine central here. It's great.
It really is. So anyone who's in the Toronto area, go there and go support. Go buy, absolutely go buy a bottle of wine. What has this year been? Actually, you know, before I get to what this year been for you, one thing I'm curious about when you're talking to people or doing Zoom meetings or on Twitter, do you get nervous at all when you're showing your support for restaurants or showing just the sympathy you and the empathy you have? Because some people, is there a fine line between people going, you want restaurants to be open? Aren't you worried about safety, about COVID? Like, is there ever that sort of, because I know I sometimes dance on that line where I'm like, please, restaurants open. I'm rooting for you to open. Like on Sunday, I saw patios open. I'm like, hooray, patios, human, food, money going to people who need it. Hooray. And then I'm like, oh, wait, am I being irresponsible in terms of COVID? Like, that's got to be an odd dance, especially for someone like you who's very social.
100%. You couldn't have articulated better. It's hard. It really is hard to, and I've gone slack and heat for it online for this. Safety is paramount. I mean, I'm inside all week. I don't see anyone. We've been in our bubbles. You know, my brother-in-law does work in hospitals and specifically COVID hospitals. So my mother-in-law's a doctor. I know all too well of what's going on out there. Safety. And I'm pretty strict with the rules. I will bring out AGCO rules to anyone. If you're not following the rules, I will send you links. And it happens. I'm pretty strict on that. It's hard. It's hard to show support. I really try to do it as safely as possible. I have gone heat for it. And then you just try to be gentle and try to show, you know, I'm being safe. I haven't done anything. I'm inside for weeks on end. And, you know, once to get some fresh air on my walk. For example, yesterday I was walking, popped into Tommy's. It's a little variety wine bar. Just, I felt bad. And I'm like, let's go buy a $40 bottle of wine, just even one more customer for them. So yes, it's hard. It's very hard to, especially with all the messaging. I mean, not to get into politics here, but I think we're in gray zone. I mean, it's hard to understand where we are.
Spin the wheel of color. Spin the wheel of color.
And you, when you have family and friends all over, I mean, we don't have family just in Toronto. Right? I mean, we family live all over Southern Ontario. I don't know where we are. I don't know where they are. I don't know what zones we're all in. And it's quite confusing. So, I mean, we obviously listen, we pay attention, and it is. We try to do everything safely as possible. It was hard going back on the floor last summer. I was among my group of friends. We were one of the first restaurants with patio service, and it was very, very nerve-wracking. It was hard. And when this happened, I changed, you know, my social behavior. Well, there's no social behaviors right now, but I mean, I was extra more vigilant because I was around more people. And, you know, you take those precautions, and that's just it. People, if you're going to expose yourself, see more people than you normally do, you take the extra precautions and you're just really safe about it. And hospitality is about safety at the end of the day. It's about food safety and alcohol safety. You know, we get taught that. That's part of our training. It's something that, you know, we don't want to overserve. We really don't. You know, people are ingesting our things. We have to be very mindful and careful of all these things. So yes, restaurants have been hit hard, and it's a really difficult discussion. It's hard to support and hard to encourage, but they need some support, and there are now very safe ways to do it. So thankfully a lot of restaurants take it very seriously. That's why many of my go-tos this weekend, like you said, midfield, weren't open for patio. They chose not to, even though they could. Some did, and if they felt comfortable, by all means. And, you know, people are supporting it as long as they're being safe. It's hard, though. I mean, people walk around with no masks. Like, I wasn't in a restaurant, but I went to a grocery store recently, and there was someone that was maskless, and I froze. And, I mean,
it's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah, it's really strange now when I, you know, you do that aggressive double take. Like, what? And by the way, you're right about...
You stop.
Yeah, you do. And by the way, you're right about just the confusion of Southern Ontario. I was driving the other day, this was about a week ago, and I was going through Burlington, and I saw humans in a restaurant talking, eating food. And I think I almost like ran the car off the road. I'm like, what? Look at that. Because I've been in either downtown Toronto or I've been up isolated at my girlfriend's cottage in the middle of nowhere. And so I haven't seen that. Like, I went into an elevator the other day and I was confused. I hadn't been in an elevator in a year, but just being in a restaurant or not being in it, driving by it on the road. It was so bizarre. You mentioned last summer, Chris, what restaurant were you back on the, cause, and the only reason I ask you which restaurant is you work all over the place. Like, you're one of the busiest people. It's hard to keep track of just what you do. What restaurant was it?
So I work, I'm in light, but no, I'm a floor sommelier at George. So I've been
okay. So George,
four plus years. At George. So yeah. It is 5 years. That's been kind of my longstanding gig. Mm-hmm. I'm in and out there all the time, you know, when my schedule allows it. Because yeah, keeping one people on staff, it's, you know, there's a cost to us. So I've been a floor sommelier. That's the official title for, just celebrated my fifth anniversary there. So it's kind of been my home and love it. It's phenomenal. We're very lucky to have patio service, which a lot of fine dining, I mean, I'm not going to list restaurants, but there are many in the core of Toronto just don't have a patio. So, I mean, it was very important. It's a great space and very safe. I mean, I get my temperature checked as always. And, you know, it's, we have maps of where we have to go. It's unbelievably organized. And it's different though. I mean, it's a whole new service. I mean, when you're at a restaurant, there's so much operationally. I think that's what makes me so sad about the announcement so quick. It's the operational side of things. People don't know the training and, you know, really the flow of it. And when you have to be extra safe, you have to review these things. It takes time to review basic service, especially when it's a new, different setup. It's not your normal restaurant, right? So, and that's where I do applaud the restaurants, taking their time and also being safe as they can. It really is huge claps to those that were able to open, and also huge equally claps to those that are taking their time just to figure it all out. On both sides of the coin, just heroes, all of them, like huge hard work for everyone. Big heavy lifting just to, you know, pivot. Sorry, I laugh every time I
you
say
can't,
it.
You can't help it. It's
a heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Yeah, heavy lifting on all ends, right?
And also pivot just, it's a lot more, it's a lot more, quicker than going rotating 180 degrees philosophically about your actions. You know, it's like, okay, no, we'll just go pivot. By the way, and again, for people listening, shout out to George, the wine list, the cellar there is pretty incredible. So Chris, what has this last year been for you in terms of working and then not working and looking to work again, or just adjusting, not pivoting, adjusting to doing Zoom wine events, doing client events on Bordeaux and things like that. Like, just I've done virtual wine events, and it's the best you can do, and there's good parts to it, but it's hard. It's not the same. But I'm just curious what it's been like for you.
So there's two parts. Because I'm not working as much, or I'm not making my extra income, and it's not just about the income. When you're in the wine world, like I said, you have the bug. I know you know this. It's hard to get out. You have to be a part of it in some way, shape, or form. So, I mean, because I can't be doing my normal serving 50 guests a night in my section and doing 10 course menus a la minute and serving 100 different wines, I need an outlet. It's hard. It's hard to let go of that pace, touching all those wines, serving all those wines, explaining all those wines. One beautiful thing at George is we do tasting menus, but we do really customized to the customers. Vegan, pescatarian, whatever you want, we will really accommodate to. I've done non-alcoholic cocktail pairings in the moment, and I'm using my brain differently. I'm taking pet nat all the way to port, as I say, you know, and all the lines in between. What do you do when that stop? What do you do when that stops flat? Right. I mean, it's an energy. It's such an amazing experience being able to share the world of wine. You know, wine is all over the world. Most countries have something connected of some kind of alcoholic or some kind of beverage even, you know, and even sometimes we go into ciders and all these different things that I'm able to explain and really take our customers on a journey. What do you do when that stops and you physically can't move? It really was hard. I have to say it's been a hard year, not only for me, but my, you know, my fellow community, where we can't do what we love. We really love what we do. We love sharing wine. We love telling the story of wine and we love, you know, customizing it to our customers and really creating an experience for that. So what have I been doing? You know, trying to do these Zoom things. So Two Sides is really kind of doing a little bit here and there, more for friends, family, and colleagues, private wine sessions. Now that there's a little bit of an easing up on the, you know, the restaurants, I partner with restaurants to deliver it. It is a little hard. Logistically, it's still complicated. Wine is always complicated when you're trying to get it to people's homes all across the GTA. There's now those sampling bottles, but usually my customers want to do the full bottle. And yeah, it's just the logistics. It really is. You have to be a master of logistics. And some people are better than others. I like to do it. I do have other things I have on the go. For example, I mean, Sips, I'll give a big shout out. I think, you know, at Grand Cru Deli, Heather and Bruce,
of course,
they do.
I was there. Shout out to them. I was, God, I bought something just a couple of days. Bought some stuff from them just a couple of days ago as well.
Heather's super organized and she loves the logistics side of it. I do too. It's hard when I have a lot on the go and I do have other things happening, but I've been doing it and it's been great. And just sharing my love of wine, you know, small groups, people that want something fun to do when they're, you know, bored on a Friday, Saturday. So I've done, you know, tours of Italy, which I love Italian wines, French wine, obviously. I'm doing a Bordeaux one this week, actually, with a private group. And there's a lot of other psalms that have been doing that. Again, you have to be a master of logistics. There's rules, there's food, there's, you know, you need to make sure you're partnering with the right people, with the right restaurants to execute it. And there's so many new collaborations and partnerships, and it really has been bringing us together. The other flip side of the coin is also participating in these things. So a lot of like country or regional tastings or agency tastings are now online. And they're so different. We get sample bottles, we get little samples. It's sometimes we get food. It's at the end of the day though, I think we all crave the community and being together. So thankfully we have Zoom and thankfully we have video to connect and at least see each other. And it's hard and we miss each other. We're used to interacting, helping each other. And really, what really I love about the hospitality industry is the support. We really do support and help each other.
By the way, shout out to the start of that answer, from pet nat to port. That is, I like that. That was good. Also, what's your preference? The little mini bottle where they put the label on it, or now I got my first one, like sort of looks like the little bladders.
The pouch.
Yeah, the pouch.
But I like the wine bladder. That's a great call.
Yeah. What are your preference? Pouch or the mini bottle?
Actually, I like the pouch. There's something fun about it. It's something different. And I think that's what, you know, it sparks joy. So, you know, when we're all kind of not bored at home, but, you know, slightly, you know, nothing new is happening. I mean, you catch up with friends, you're like, well, what's new? And, you know, there's not much to say. But when you say you just had wine pouches or bladders, it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something different than just a little bottle. So I'll go with pouches. Team pouch.
Yeah, I'm doing something today with the wines of Rueda, and this is my first experience in pouch. I've been a mini bottle guy all this time. What I want to do, Chris, is I want to go over a couple of your tweets and just chat about it for a second. No. The first one is really simple and easy. Shout out to Turley. Incredible Zinfandel. And I know Zins can get a bad name, and sometimes it's their fault. You know, I got a couple 2015 still. Turley Zin, give him a shout out.
So Zin is actually, I have to say, I've been to California, so I have a little bit of a different relationship with Zinfandel. You know, like I said, I live in Dundas West area. This is very more natural wine scene. You know, go to any wine shop and you've got orange wines, pet nats all over. Actually, I find it really difficult to actually source a Bordeaux tasting in Toronto these days, because that's so popular. But So as I'm starting with that, because right now, you know, the natural wine bug has been really popular in Toronto, but you still have these old classics like Zin that people don't always drink. And I think sometimes we as Psalms or wine people forget that, you know, the everyday drinker loves these wines. And so thankfully at George, you know, we do have that range. I do touch every bottle from orange, natural, all the way through to very classic. And yeah, Zinfandel. I mean, I've seen those gnarly vines, those old gnarly vines that come out. Those, they look like they're almost like horns coming out of the ground. They're ageless. They're 100 plus years old. And yeah, I have a little bit, you know, in my tastings when I do at George, Zinfandel is a fan favorite. And, you know, we always forget. We want to, you know, me personally as a sommelier, I really try to do it for our guests. It really is about their palate, not my own preferences. And I don't know, Zin, I always get a good hit on it and people respond well. And it's kind of fun to take on some serious Zin. And, you know, we do Ridge and Turley. Those are the two main ones we serve. And yeah, it's sometimes fun to talk about something, you know, classic again. It's, you know, it's going back to the old classics and nostalgia. And I feel like Zin is nostalgia for me. So something a little more controversial. I mean, I do drink my lovely natural wines from Jura and everything, but I mean, there's also a place in your
do you feel
there's room for all wines.
Do you feel obligated now? You know, no, the organic, the all natural. Like I'm just going to say this right now. And I know a lot of them are really well made. Shout out to Southbrook. They do a great job with their orange wine program. I just haven't really ever fallen in love with orange wine. I appreciate it. You can tell this is a well-made product. There's absolutely an audience or a, you know, base for it. It's just not for me.
There is such a wide spectrum of wines. I think that's really like yesterday I had, I was actually drinking the Copain, which is a Anne and Francois Guinevere, which unfortunately don't get a lot of here. Beautiful wines. And, you know, to be honest, me and my, I was drinking it and I didn't even know really what it was. I guessed, I know it's Jura. I know they do Chardonnay. You know, it was filtery. I didn't even know the color. It's not really white wine, not really orange. It's like even in between, you know, there's even the world of wine. You know, sometimes you have light reds and you're like, that's not a red wine. That's not a rosé. What is it? And, you know, there's such a spectrum of wine and we should just celebrate that and just drink wine, enjoy it. You know, just, I know we have all these classifications and all that, but at the end of the day, it's wine. And I think that's my approach as, you know, I've been in the industry for a while now. You know, I've harvested grapes, I've picked grapes, I've done so many different jobs in this industry and it's juice. It's, you know, I just enjoy it. It's, and that's where people get so almost, they just focus on, you know, the categorization and I'm like, it's Zinfandel, enjoy it. Some people like it, you know, it's great with certain types of food, enjoy it. Oh, and Sangiovese, I love those wines. Actually, that's another Zinfandel. I don't get to serve it a lot, but you know, I really discovered those wines and yeah, I mean, it's wine. There's a time and a place for every wine, I think. And sometimes people do get quite dogmatic on it. That's definitely a discussion point a lot in the industry at the moment. But I mean, you look at my shelf, I have, I'm just looking over at it. I've got Syrah from Morocco. I've got my Sauvignon, which obviously, New World Chenin Blanc. I've got Zweigel. I've got some weird stuff, but I have Merlot and there's Grenache and there's California. Oh, there's Chilean Cabernet and I've got everything on my shelf really and that's what makes you a good psalm. It's, you know, that spectrum and you're continuing to try all the things. Yeah, like my shelf right now, it's literally everything. Like there's Rasto, I've got sherry, I've got something from Portugal, Riesling, obviously, you know, Riesling,
of course.
And that's just my shelf. It's not me in my cellar, that's just my go-to shelf. And I do think, you know, we need to make sure that I make sure in my off time, I am drinking that wide spectrum of wines. It's not just the wines I like to drink. It's about making sure I keep a palate of seeing what's happening in regions. Like, yeah, that Chilean, and I recently tasted some great Chilean wines and they're doing great things there.
True story. When working as a sommelier last summer, customers would actually ask to see my face, i.e. lower my mask. In a job where you try to accommodate the diner, it's very uncomfortable in those situations. Hey, Toronto, when dining now, please don't do this. And I'll just say this. The one or two times I was at a restaurant last summer, or the first time, was just this little cafe in Orangeville. And I didn't say anything, but I remember in my head thinking to myself, I wonder what they look like. Now, I didn't act on it. I just had that thought in my head, and then I just went back to my meal. But yeah, like I would never verbalize it, but I can understand. There is this weird, odd curiosity, because I think we usually have a connection with, because it is service, it is a show, it is entertainment. We have this weird connection. We kind of want to see what the person is.
That was so hard. I mean, not only am I running around a restaurant that's expanded because you need more space, I am running literally with wine, trying not to spill anything. I'm trying to get to where I need to be at the right times because it's about timing. I have a mask on and I'm breathing through it. And I'm like trying not to breathe. And I'm like, wait, I can't pass out. And then guests are asking, you know, we miss your face. It was more just, I mean, that's happened when it was early on. I kind of talked about it this weekend because, you know, we were allowed to dine a la minute. It really was quick.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just provide a reminder to everyone, you know, treat the restaurants gently, you know, be kind. And yes, you might not be able to hear them. Not only is it a mask blocking from sound and you have to articulate at the end of a long service, because I spend a little bit more as a sommelier, you spend a little more time at a table. You're talking about wine and they ask you questions and it becomes a conversation. I would lose my voice because I'm trying to articulate, but not breathe too heavily. I'm trying to stay back and I need to make sure they can hear me. And it's hard. And sometimes out of frustration, they would be like, I can't hear you, or I can't articulate. And I'm like, I'm just trying to breathe. And it's hard. It is. It really is an extra element. Several people mentioned that to me. You know, we would talk about our journeys last year as being back in this environment and how do we handle it. And, you know, friends from different markets and different countries, you know, all just collaborating and learning from each other. Because really is that's the support, unfortunately. It happens. So just big reminder, if you're dining out, I know you miss faces. I know sometimes it's hard to hear servers. Just, I was watching customers lean in and I'm trying to articulate better. It's hard. It's a struggle for everyone, but just, yeah, masks on. Just like, already uncomfortable. So there is a power position. Obviously you want to serve the customer. You want to, like you said, create a relationship. It really is, especially with wine. You know, I was there. I remember some of my services in the beginning, I try to walk away just to get to my next table and people would be like, no, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing feeling. People miss people. It wasn't just me. It was everyone else. And they literally would stop me and be like, no, stay. I'm like, I have to go. So it really is wonderful. I mean,
there's going to be more of that, isn't there? When things start to come back and like we're in the gray, other areas are in the red, and in the red, you can have 25 or 50% indoor, and eventually, hopefully more vaccines, it's going to be things open up. I imagine there's going to be a lot of that. God, I hope I don't do that. Or I just want to talk to the somm more, partially just to learn and get the right bottle of wine, but partially just like to talk to human beings in person.
Absolutely. I was just watching. I mean, when you're on a floor, you really have to observe. You're observing human behaviors. You're watching closely. And that's the job. You're watching, you know, where water levels are, where their wines are. Are they enjoying the food? And I mean, they can articulate it, but you're watching beyond that. There's a lot of the human and body communication that you can pick up on. And I do miss that. I feel like I'm losing that skill by not being in that environment. It really is a skill you learn and you watch for. And I would feel that being on the floor. And I mean, it feels great to talk about wine and share. And that's really why we're doing this. It's not for the money. It's really sharing our knowledge. And there's a lot of confusion in the wine world. It's something people really, a lot of people are fascinated by. And those that are, you know, the ones that are lucky enough to work in the industry or, you know, take on their passions and learn and grow. And we love articulating back. We love sharing the stories. And yeah, it was, I mean, oh gosh, I remember what I was serving. I do. And I remember specific tables and people who just wanted more. And they just, you can tell the yearning for human connection.
I know you got to go soon. Where are you going to be in a couple months? And what do you think the restaurant industry is going to be, say, by September?
Hard to tell. Hopefully, I mean, unfortunately, I don't really have too close ears of what's going on, you know, higher up, which really is, that's where you know what's happening. Yeah. I'm hopeful hospitality gets on a phase sooner than later. Because it is harsh. The industry has been hit hard. Takeout, thankfully, has been, a lot of restaurants have pivoted, but there's been so many closures. And it's hard. I mean, having your business shut down, not only for the last 5 months, but several months in that prior year, it's a long time. So I'm hopeful they get on vaccinations, because really where people seem the most safe. Hopefully that happens sooner than later. Again, we're hoping patio season comes back and Cafe Tio was announced. I'm hoping to be back on a floor doing actual wine work. It's been lovely hosting these virtual tastings. It's been really great to connect with new wine drinkers and share my love of wine, but it's not the same. It's even though it's backbreaking work, your knees hurt, your back hurts being on a restaurant floor, running around a restaurant. It does. It's physically demanding, but it really is such a joy to be able to serve amazing wines for guests and find that connection and help them on their journey of wine. It really is about the customer. So I'm hoping to be back, hopefully, but I mean, it really depends on the next few rollouts. And I know Cafe Tio is going to be back. So right. Whether or not I'll be dining outside, supporting, you know, when it's safe, when I feel comfortable, when I feel it's thankfully in Dundas West, we have small restaurants and not many people around. So it's quite comforting. So hopefully I'll be supporting all my neighbors and friends and people who are trying really hard just to, you know, get by.
Yeah, no, it's true. And yeah, that your area, as I said, I went for a long walk around there. It is a cool one. It's funny, during this whole interview, I'm looking in your background. I can see you got a little row of wines there, just a little tiny little sleeve of wines. And I'm just like, I'm always looking and wondering, what the hell is that? What the hell is that behind you?
Confession. Those are my partner's wines. Oh. So these are wines that are specifically picked out for my partner. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't touch my actual cellar.
So that's a distraction. that's like a moat to keep the barbarians out of the castle.
Yes. Yes, you are looking at the moat. I have my other wine selection.
Yeah.
These are, as we call them, safe wines to drink.
Yes.
That we won't be drinking. Yeah.
Hold on.
Keep them stocked.
Do you have a story? Because I think everyone does. Do you have a story where your partner opened the wrong bottle by mistake? Even worse, when it was late and they don't probably remember. Can you give me one of these stories?
Thankfully, no late night adventures. But sometimes, if I'm not organized, because I do try to keep it organized for my partner, the latest one, there were a few other bottles and I was like, ooh, irked, ooh, ouch. But the latest one that really kind of hit the camel's back, it wasn't once, it was several times. Let's just, I try to be patient, in any relationship, you try to be a little patient with your partner. It was the last one that really was like, okay, we need to do something about this, was the Grange. It was the 2008 Gamay from Grange of Prince Edward County. And unfortunately you can't replace that wine. At this point, go find a bottle. So yeah, that was harsh. It kind of hurt.
And it's older
bit.
And you've been waiting on it. It's like, you look at it every now and then, like, oh, hey, you, I'm going to see you later. And then you never got to see it later.
Yeah, I love, having wines a little bit, not older, but, a little bit of cellaring time is good. I think things do get better with age as, as we get older. I do find, I'm loving where I'm at right now and excited for the future. But yeah, I think wines, take time and just enjoy them. And I do let them wait. I'm kind of a little bit of a cellaring person. So that was hard. And it wasn't even that expensive. I mean, the bottle was $20, $22. It was more just the, I wanted to enjoy it with you, or, I don't actually, people don't always believe me, but I don't sip a lot at home. It's, for me, wine is about people. That's why it's been extra hard. No dinner parties, no sharing, no opening bottles. Wine is, yes, an expensive habit, but it's about the community and people and sharing. I'm not one to have dinner just when I'm working at night or just even with dinner. I have a little bit of a sensitive insides and it hurts sometimes. So I don't drink a lot, actually. For me, it's the stories they unlock, the place. It explains the history of the wine. And they're so, I just think wine is art, science, history, all combined in one. It really is something so magnificent from a place that people made with nature. And it's a time, so it's historical for me. So I, my cellar has been overflowing during this pandemic because I haven't been sharing as many bottles and nowhere near. I haven't had a Magnum in how long?
You're the opposite. Every like you hear about how, and every bottle shop I go to, everyone says the same thing, that alcohol wine consumption has gone up during the pandemic, except with you.
Yes. And people find that so hard to believe, but
you've
pivoted. I mean,
you've pivoted from everyone else.
I've adjusted. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's true. It's for me, it's the people, right? I mean, we were able to have a little bit of social gathering last summer. So yes, but that's when I bring several bottles and I'm so excited to share. And other than that, I mean, it's not, even though mine is hyper-personal, it's also about sharing and bringing together. There's a reason a wine bottle is a certain shape. Beer is individual service. I mean, yes, Bose does their beautiful larger bottles, but think of the size and the shape of a beer bottle versus a wine bottle. A wine bottle is not meant for, okay, if you personally consume a wine bottle, I'm not judging. Trust me, I do it myself as well. But in general, it is shaped a certain way to serve a few number of people. One little beer can or bottle is not meant for multiple people. Wine is built to share. I wholeheartedly believe that. I mean, yes, I do enjoy my bottles on my own. And, you know, we're having a festive evening and, you know, celebrating or having endless nights of Zooms, by all means, if I'm sipping on something. But yeah, it really is. I believe sharing. It's meant for four people. Or it's meant to have with 4 to 6 people. Everyone have a glass and try another one. So that's where it's hard for me. It's hard to have multiple glasses. Sometimes all I need is a glass. All I need is a sip.
Yeah.
All you need. So,
Chris, as
we what are you drinking? You're drinking something.
It's blue. This is just water in a weird glass.
But, it looks blue.
Yeah, I know. I was over at my closest friend's place and hung out in his backyard and all that. And I haven't seen him in ages. So I had I brought a 23, 24 year old third growth Margaux kind of thing. I got one of my older Bordeaux's, and it you get that moment of nervousness, like please still be good. And it was perfect Bordeaux because there was power, but the fruit was there and it was fresh. You took a sip and it didn't weigh you down. And it's why I love wine, because I had the anticipation. So I was excited ahead of time. I was getting to share it with someone I'm really close with. And then we tried it, the joy of this is so good. And then we're like, 1998. That's when John Elway won the Super Bowl, or 98, Shakespeare in Love or something. Like you just go back to that time. So that bottle served every purpose of why we love wine.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I've said this more recently in my posts online about how it's a combination of people, place, time, and Mother Nature. It really is all together, right? And it really is the winemaker's mood, what they're feeling that year, the struggles they've had with Mother Nature, because it's a dance. They start from early winter all the way through. And then the next year depends on what they're making with the wine. You know, it really is so wonderful. It really, and I mean, I love the variety of wine. I love when it's a little different every year. Actually, I don't like staying to the same thing. I do love when wines do evolve and they change and they really represent. But I mean, how wonderful is that? It really, it is drinking a time capsule.
It is.
That year.
Yeah. And it
transports you to a place. Not only were you thinking of the vintage 1998, you're thinking of Bordeaux. Oh my God, France. Let's talk about that. And it takes you and you're like, oh, the chateau. I wonder what this means. I wonder who made it. And there's so much. It really is such a beautiful product where it really is so much of Mother Nature and people working together. And I mean, again, how beautiful is that? And you get to ingest it and it really comes into you.
Yeah.
It's art that you eat and drink. And it's it's wonderful.
Chris, as we end this, where can people, either just social media or websites, where if people want to follow you or just, where would they go?
Oh, so I'm a little bit of a digital person, so I'm online everywhere, but Instagram would be my place. I do love recommending wines from LCBO to, what you can find in bottle shops. I'm very passionate about supporting my friends. Also, obviously, the Ontario wine scene, which I hold near and dear to my heart, love our local wineries here. So, you know, from Prince Edward County, Lake Erie, North Shore, and of course, Niagara. So you can find me on Wine with Chris. That's for Instagram. And on Twitter, I've been a little lazy. I've still kept my old moniker, my old account, the City Wino. But I mean, Twitter is more for text. And then Instagram really is the forum I share, not only just, you know, again, finds. I found, oh, this great Gruner a friend recommended last week. And oh, I'm so glad I bought a few bottles. And, you know, I try to share why I like wine. It's not about, you know, imposing someone else's thought. It's wine is very personal. It really, really is. So I really try to provide my POV on it, my perspective on it. And yeah, if you enjoy it, by all means, but we're all not going to like the same wines.
Nope.
So just because I like it doesn't mean you're going to like it. But I try to provide a little context. So if you think we're similar, or if you think this is interesting to you, same thing with food. I mean, I did not, at the age of six, I did not like blue cheese, but now I love blue cheese.
Of course.
Wine is the same thing, right? We, our wine, our palates evolve as we, you know, as we go through this journey of life. And wine evolves with it. So just because I like something doesn't mean you'll like something, but hopefully I can teach you things along the way and help share new wines. And that's really my goal, is whether I'm at the restaurant or online, is sharing, you know, my perspectives and just what I've learned. I've been so lucky to travel a lot through the world of wine and love showing, you know, the behind the scenes and really giving a little context. For me, it's not about scores. That's a whole other topic. We can talk about wine scoring. But it really about teaching. For me, education is key, and teaching little tidbits about wines, and, you know, hopefully you'll take a little bit of that, because every country has wine laws, whether you understand that or not. There are actual laws of wine. There's regulations, and it's confusing. Even I'm like, what is that again? Oh yeah, what does that mean? It's hard, I mean, especially the Central European countries where you're speaking different languages.
Oh yeah.
And you've got German wine law is, you know, quite complicated. And, you know, Angvarabides and Pratikatswein and all these words that are, I can barely spell. So it's hard, right? I mean, I feel for, I love actually, I want to finish this, but I go to the LCBO and I watch shoppers. I know it's so weird and creepy, and I try not to creep them out.
Chris, we do. I do it as well. Same thing as well.
I love watching. I'm like, what are they looking at? I wonder what they're looking. Can I help them? Like sometimes I help them because they look at me, and they do. Because I mean, sometimes I'm the only one in the vintages section, and I'm like looking, and people are like, oh, can you help me? I'm like, sure. What do you want? And I step in, and people help me. Ask.
All right. Now I got to ask. By the way, once again, give your Instagram account.
Oh yeah, Wine with Chris. I spelled my name.
Wine with Chris.
Sorry, I spelled my name with a K R Y S. Sorry, I should explain that. My name is with Christina.
Wine with Chris.
Yes.
Yes, K R Y S. Have you ever? Okay, now we're heavy, but now I got to ask this. I've been with my girlfriend at the LCBO, and I could tell it must be just, you know, a new employee, and I don't blame them. I blame maybe the staff training isn't where it should be. And I'm listening to the conversation between the customer and the LCBO employee. And I'm like, why are you recommending? Like, no, you're wrong. And I'm turning my girlfriend Amy. I'm like, oh, this is wrong. No, I should go over there and help. I never do, much the same way I never say take down your mask, but I've sometimes are, no, you're giving them the wrong advice. They don't go after that wine. Have you ever had that moment?
I think any wino has had that moment in an LCBO, unfortunately. But that's what we're trained to do, right? I mean, we are trained professionals. You've done CAPS.
I've got my WSET diploma, and the second level, the certified
sommelier.
I've got the tasting and the theory down. I failed the service spectacularly when the flutes of, I mean, it was Prosecco, it wasn't champagne. They were going all over the place. My hand was, it was shaking. But yeah, and I got I always just say, I got my diploma. Yes. Yeah, I got my diploma.
Which is a pretty, even I haven't done my diploma. So huge kudos to you. I mean, diploma is, that's for anyone that's not in the wine world. Diploma is actually the level just below Master of Wine. So, you know, it is a big jump, but it is a huge kudos to you doing the diploma. Not only is it extensive, but it's expensive, so it's both.
Yes, so huge kudos.
So once you've invested thousands, I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars into wine and studying.
Yep.
And you hear some of the recommendations. Yes, you cringe. Yes, sometimes. And you try to ignore it. Or sometimes I don't interject when they're talking, but maybe after, if the person has left the conversation, I'm like, oh, by the way, try this. I try to slightly add. I would never.
Gently.
Yeah, I would never pipe into the conversation, even though I, just like you, I am. I mean, the listeners can't see my face, but my face was just cringing. You try to, it does, it takes every inch not to, you know, overstep and not to just help, because that's what you want to do. You want to just help the shoppers. You want to help the customer find the wine that they want at the end of the day. That's what we're all passionate about. And we want to use all this knowledge we've invested so much time and money into. We want to be able to share with anyone and help them on their journey. So I try usually after, and I'm like, hey, by the way, you should try this, or, oh, try that. And I try to whisper it gently after. And if they're still around in the section I'm in, or if they still look lost, then I'll be like, gentle. I try to be gentle. I try.
Yeah. Yeah,
just I'm not subtle though, as my partner always says. So
I gotta muzzle myself. Like, no, don't worry. Sweetness in Moselle is not a bad thing. Okay. Stop it. Anyway.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's hard.
It is.
It's hard, but we try. We try. I mean, it really comes from a good place.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Chris, it's been great catching up to you. You know, I am rooting for you, because if you're doing well, then that means, you know, George or anywhere else you're working is open. And if they're working, it means servers and managers are getting paid. It means the food suppliers, the people that supply napkins or chairs or reupholstery, you know, just like all the 1,000 industries that touch a restaurant are back and working again. And of course, all done in a safe manner. So Chris, really appreciate you doing the pod today. Be good, be safe, and I'll see you soon.
Absolutely. So nice to catch up, Matt.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and where quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.